Welcome in, everybody. This is the Locked On Eagles post-game show as part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Hey, everybody, Louis DiBiase joining you on this. I'm recording right after the game on this late Thursday night, but you're probably listening Friday morning, headed to work, ready to wrap up the work week on a high note because the Philadelphia Eagles leave Jacksonville on a high note with the W, taking down Jacksonville 24-10. A lot of good, positive stuff in this game that we will get into. Of course, we got our winners and losers segment, as we always do on the post-game show, and we'll get into the scoring breakdown and some injury news, specifically with Cody Kessler, as he went out pretty early in the first quarter of the game after taking a big, big hit. But the Eagles get the 24-10 win and improve to 1-1 on the preseason. And last week, there were some good things, for sure, against the Titans, but I feel like the sentiment I got from the fans on Twitter, everybody seems a lot more, I don't know, I wouldn't say optimistic because the preseason, this shouldn't deter anybody considering starters aren't really playing, but I feel like everybody feels a lot better about how the performance on the field went with the young guys, specifically the people we keep talking about wanting to see make plays. I feel like we got that tonight. So I think it was just a more positive night. And I think, too, people were just in a better mood because Nick Foles was playing with the Jaguars. Of course, he didn't play, but he's on the Jaguars. And you got to see him and Carson Wentz and Zach Ertz and Alshon Jeffrey and Nelson Aguilar talking before the game. And that made a lot of people throughout the week reminisce about the past two incredible years with Foles and Wentz at quarterback, back in the Super Bowl season, in the incredible run to the playoffs in 2018. And then after that, again, it was a great win, 24-10, and both sides of the ball did some really good things in the first half and in the second half. So we'll get into winners and losers today. We got a lot of winners. We got some losers as well, though. And then we move on. We have two more weeks of preseason football, and I'm sure everybody is very much so after the first two games of the preseason. You're like, okay, it was fun. It was good to have football back. Now I want the real thing, and always, too, because Game 3 is the tune-up game. We will probably see Carson Wentz next week against Baltimore, so that's going to be an exciting part of the preseason, is finally getting to see some starters. And then we get through that Jets week, and here comes Week 1 against the Washington Redskins. But as for today, we're going to wrap up Week 2 of the preseason as, again, the Eagles beat the Jaguars 24-10. A look at the scoring. Clayton Thorson hits Greg Ward Jr. on 4th-and-4. A 38-yard touchdown to take a 7-0 lead. Then 7-3, the Jaguars kick a field goal. Josh Adams scores a 1-yard touchdown. He gets into the end zone, trying to make the case to be that fifth running back over Wendell Smallwood and Boston Scott, if they in fact do keep a fifth running back. Jake Elliott hits a 52-yard field goal to make it 17-3. Then the Jaguars score a touchdown, 17-10, but Boston Scott kind of closes it out with a 1-yard touchdown of his own in the red zone. The offensive line looking really good in both the first and second half, and you saw that capped off with the Josh Adams touchdown and the Boston Scott touchdown. A lot of that had to do with the second and third team offensive lines really having a good showing against the Jaguars front seven. So the Eagles take it 24-10. Three touchdowns, Greg Ward Jr., Josh Adams, and Boston Scott all get into the end zone. One of those guys will be part of our winners. I think Adams and Boston Scott had a good day. Greg Ward Jr. catches the big touchdown. Clayton Thorson looks way more comfortable. Who else shined tonight in Jacksonville? Who didn't as much? That's coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, the post-game show edition. The Eagles 1-1, the first win of the 2019 preseason. We'll be right back after this. All right, Eagles fans across the globe listening in as we recap this Eagles-Jaguars game 2 of the preseason that resulted in the Eagles getting a win 24-10. We're going to start this off on a high note. We'll get into the losers of this game for the Eagles, of course. The Jaguars, the biggest loser, getting the L. But for now, I want to get into the positives of this game because compared to last week against Tennessee, there was a lot more to work with today that's going to show up on the film this next week on the All-22, and you're going to be like, yeah, this guy did really good. This guy was encouraging, promising. We have him as a backup. The depth, you should be feeling a lot better about this Eagles depth on the roster, not just the second team, but also the third team. There was a lot of good stuff to take away from this game. The first guy I got to give props to, And it's a player that I've been talking up even before he was an Eagle throughout the entire draft process, the pre-draft process, and even during the college season of 2018, this was a player I was keeping a close eye on considering the proximity to Philadelphia. Running back Miles Sanders finishes the game with 5 carries for 31 yards, ended up with 6.5 yards per carry, and I was giddy watching him play. And you know what's funny, too? I tweeted out before the game, I want to see Miles Sanders juke somebody out of their pants today. I wanted to see Sanders make some splash plays that we've been hearing about throughout training camp that we saw at Lincoln Financial Field during that open practice to the public. And that's exactly what he did today. He broke off 2 big runs that showed his vision, that showed his patience, and his cut ability that were all major, major pluses that made him a pick you wanted instead of a David Montgomery or instead of a Daryl Henderson. Right? Those kind of players that even a Josh Jacobs, I bet the Eagles had those guys graded out pretty closely considering they were willing to take Sanders, a pretty high pick considering the Eagles haven't taken a running back that high since LeSean McCoy 10 years ago. And he showed what he could do today. He is so clearly the best running back on the Eagles. It's not even close. He should be the running back 1 from the start. From week 1 against Washington, he should be the guy. Jordan Howard made some good runs today, and by the way, that's the awesome part too about this is that you watch Jordan Howard run the football, you watch Miles Sanders, it is such a nice change of pace compared to what we had to see last year with Josh Adams and Wendell Smallwood in the past few years, even before that, you know, with Ryan Matthews and DeMarco Murray. It is a very, very refreshing thing to see a guy like Miles Sanders. You know, you go to that 16-yard run where he's supposed to go through the inside between Andre Dillard and Matt Pryor, and Josh Allen blows it up inside. Sanders kicks it out, ends up breaking a tackle. So first, you see that cut. You see the patience. You see the vision to know he's got to bounce it to the outside. One cut immediately gets out and then breaks a tackle, and it took 3 guys to get him down, showing that contact balance at Penn State that also made him a second-round pick. He is a hard player to take down. He's explosive, but he's also pretty powerful for someone that, you know, he doesn't look like LeGarrette Blount. He doesn't look like Jordan Howard, but I would say right now that Miles Sanders is a harder running back to take down, not just grabbing him, right? Not just elusiveness I'm talking about, you know, cut ability, but power too. I think Miles Sanders might be the hardest running back to take down right now in this Eagles backfield. And he, the first run of the game for him also was a big one where the offensive line closed down left, a ton of space on the right side. He bounces it out and makes another big play. He's just going to get the most out of this offensive line. He's going to take as much meat off the bones as any of these running backs. And one thing that Sanders hasn't done a great job of, or at least that's what the criticism was. Now going back to Penn State, you kind of look at it and you say, oh, there's actually some good stuff there. It has to do with pass blocking, and it's why some people think, oh, that's why they brought back Sproles, because you can't really play Sanders on third down. Well, on the 38-yard touchdown from Clayton Thorson to Greg Ward Jr., he beautifully picked up a blitz right up the middle, coming in free on Clayton Thorson. That is Miles Sanders' job to pick him up. It's a big 220-plus pound linebacker, and he stands his ground, lowers the shoulder, and just bodies him up. And he did not get moved off his spot at all. It was so damn impressive. Again, Miles Sanders, I want that guy to be running back 1. And I know I've been saying it, but now we really saw that today against Jacksonville. On the field, he belongs as the starting workhorse running back for the Eagles in 2019. Another standout in this game against Jacksonville for me is someone that has really been a standout all summer long in training camp, mini camp, and the first game against the Tennessee Titans. He had a sack, bunch of tackles for a loss. He adds 10 tackles today and another 2 sacks. It's defensive end Deshaun Hall. Shout out to my guy Andrew DeCecco, who was on the show a couple months ago talking about a player that would be on the roster bubble that could, if he made the team, create a significant role for himself on the Eagles. And I think Deshaun Hall is becoming that candidate like he said he would. Hall, another 2 sacks today. He has 3 in the preseason, 10 tackles today. He has been the most disruptive defensive lineman on the Eagles the past 2 weeks. And Josh Sweat has played really well. Sharif Miller has shown good stuff. Vinny Curry, when he's played with the first team, has looked really good. Brandon Graham today, of course, is going to play well in the preseason. He's one of the better defensive ends in the league. But Deshaun Hall, and he just looks the part. I mean, he is built so close to, I look at like Myles Garrett. You know, you see those kind of players and you see Deshaun Hall's build. and you're like, that he just looks the part a lot like Josh Sweat, and he is explosive off the edge. He is powerful. His hand placement, his swim moves, you know, ripping through tackles. He's been doing it for two straight weeks, and he is making the case for himself to make this roster. I don't know how many defensive ends they're going to keep. If they keep five, it'll be close. If they keep six, Deshaun Hall is going to be on this roster. He is playing too good to keep off the field. And while during the regular season he would not really be someone you rely on a whole lot, to have him as your fifth or sixth defensive end, the way he's playing right now, unbelievable how impressive he's been. I would say he's been the best player of the preseason so far. Yeah, I think Deshaun Hall, for the first 2 weeks, he's going to win. He won our Jacory Shepherd Award for week one for that, you know, standout preseason hero. And I think he's going to win it again this week. Another standout, though, on the edge as well, was the rookie, the fourth-round pick himself, Sharif Miller. He finishes the game with two tackles for a loss. He got a sack off a spin move, and he made a couple really nice QB hurries. There's one play he tried to get outside the tackle, couldn't do it, so he almost does like a Euro-step basketball play back inside and then gets to the quarterback. The quarterback got rid of the ball, but it was as Miller was hitting him. For as good as Deshaun Hall has been, I've been closely watching Sharif Miller because I haven't got to see a whole lot from him at training camp so far, and I wanted to see more out of him when the game really happened, because at Penn State you see the explosiveness not only in the pass rushing game but in the run stopping game, and he was really good in that avenue today again. That's back-to-back weeks where I thought he's been really good against the run. So this is just an interesting defensive end situation. They're going to be fine. For me, there's no Connor Barwin coming to Philadelphia. The Eagles were going to wait and see how these young guys look before making a decision on Barwin, and I think they should have their decision. With how good Josh Sweat has looked, with how promising Sharif Miller has looked, and with how disruptive Deshaun Hall has been, the Eagles do not need to bring in a veteran like Connor Barwin to be your fourth, fifth, or sixth defensive end. I mean, you already brought in a guy like Eli Harold, who had four sacks in his own right last year, in case some of these young guys didn't produce. But for me right now, I think you have your answer, especially in a year where you're not going to have defensive ends playing inside as much because you have Fletcher Cox, Malik Jackson, and Tim Jernigan rotating through. That means the fourth defensive end is not going to get that many snaps as it is. And also with Vinny Curry as that third guy, he's going to be the one player rotating probably with, I would say, Derek Barnett. Brandon Graham's not going to rotate much, so the fourth spot's not really that important anyway. These guys, to me, have shown they're good enough to where Josh Sweat spot snaps each week. He can do it. Right now, Deshaun Hall, I think he could do it as well. Sharif Miller's probably the farthest back from really being ready for regular season action, but even Sharif Miller has shown, to me, more than what Josh Sweat showed last year. That's what I want to compare it to, because Sweat, in his own right, was a fourth-round rookie last year in the preseason, and I think Miller, to compare and contrast, is farther along right now than Sweat was at this time last year. So that's a good sign, and right now he might be shelved as your sixth defensive end that you're not even dressing. It's a really good situation they're in. They have a lot of depth, but it's also a lot of young depth on the edge, and that's a good thing when you have an older defensive end like Brandon Graham and you lost an older guy like Chris Long. You hope these players could eventually become, even if it's just one or two, some core pieces of your defensive line, specifically Sweat and Miller, the guys you've invested high picks in. But look, it doesn't matter what you invest in Deshaun Hall. If he's going to do this week in and week out, he is going to make this roster. I'm very curious to see if they keep six, because if they keep five, then one of these guys, Miller, Sweat, or Hall, or Harold, by the way, they got to go. I think they're probably going to keep one less running back, maybe one less linebacker, or one less safety. And I think they're going to keep six defensive ends the way these guys are looking the first 2 weeks of the preseason. Another winner here, Clayton Thorson, looked so much more comfortable. It was night and day. Doug Peterson really said last week a lot of it had to do with nerves and that he expected Thorson to improve. And I was hoping so, considering he's a fifth-round pick. And he did that today. He was calm. He was decisive. He was confident in the throws he was making. He was 2 for 2, by the way, on fourth downs, and both of them were really big plays. Of course, the first one was the 38-yard touchdown to Greg Ward Jr., but the other one was a key play, too, that set them up in the red zone. So here's a fifth-round pick that the Eagles were hoping to develop, and he could not have been a worse start to his career with how bad he's been in training camp, and that's why it wasn't just week one. I don't feel like it was an overreaction to say how bad he was against the Titans last week, because he's kind of been that bad all summer. But hey, the more reps you get for, I mean, he's a rookie fifth-round pick. He's going to have struggles like that. a lot better today. He had touchdown drives of 95 yards and 85 yards. So with Cody Kessler now injured, here is an opening for Clayton Thorson to maybe make this roster if the Eagles do in fact keep three quarterbacks. Kessler injured, of course, was in concussion protocol. Here's an opportunity. Carson Wentz, even if he plays in the third game, he's not going to get a ton of reps. So this could be two more full games after a really nice showing against Jacksonville tonight, where Clayton Thorson can make the case, if Cody Kessler's out, to be that third guy. And hey, they invested a fifth-round pick in him, so it's not like it's going to be a complete shot in the dark. He's not just some camp body. A fifth-round pick is, it's not a very high pick, but at the same time, there's been some really good fifth-round picks that have come out of the NFL draft. So Thorson was a lot more comfortable today. He finished the night 16 of 26 for 175 yards, a touchdown. He did have an interception, but overall, a night and day compared to where he was against the Titans. And then a couple shout-outs here for some other winners that I was really impressed with today. I thought Jordan Mailata looked sharp at right tackle, specifically against the run. He was mauling over guys on the edge. There was a play where Josh Allen, the first-round pick for the Jaguars, one of the best pass rushers in this draft class, he put him on his back. Put him on the ground. Mailata comes back the next play, rebounds, and totally stands up Allen on a pass-protecting play. So Jordan Mailata looked good today. I thought Andre Dillard, once again, run blocking, you didn't get to see a lot of that at Washington State, considering they threw more than any FBS team in college football the past couple years. He continued to look good in that area, back-to-back weeks for Dillard, also having a strong camp. My boy Rasul Douglas, while they didn't really target him on the right side of the field, he perfectly played Keelan Cole along the sideline, ran for him toe-to-toe, gave him no space at all along the sidelines, and they gave him a chance down the field, and Rasul just put an end to that quickly, pushed Cole out of bounds, just with using the sideline as that 12th man. Didn't really use a lot of contact, but his angling and his positioning forced Keelan Cole out of bounds, so the pass had to sail that far out. There was no chance for a completion. I thought Rasul looked good today. Sidney Jones, three tackles. Sidney Jones is a strong tackler. That's something that I think he got unfairly criticized for at the end of last year. Big V looking strong at right guard. Speaking of Big V, here is the Jaguars broadcast team trying to say his name today, and they're going to be part of the losers category. I'll get more into it, but I could not get over how bad they butchered his name. And of course, everyone knows it's Halapuli Vadi Vaitai, right? So here's how they tried to say his name.
Yeah, Halapuli Vadi Vaitai is the tackle who had his arm wrapped around. You want to try that name?
No.
Okay. Yeah,
Yeah, that was absolutely cringy. Don't worry, they will be part of our losers category. I'm sure a lot of you noticed watching the game on the TV that the Jaguars broadcast team was brutal. Anybody else here with the winners? I would say Vinny Curry, his motor is just unreal. He never gives up on a play. A couple of times today, he got the quarterback on the ground after falling and totally getting bodied, runs down another run play on the far left side. It's really good to have Vinny Curry back. I think He had a bad year in Tampa Bay last year. A lot of it had to do with health, though. I don't think he's going to be as productive as Michael Bennett was last year, a guy that had 9.5 sacks for the Eagles, playing both inside and outside. But I think Vinny Curry is your third defensive end, a guy that started for your 2017 Super Bowl roster. Vinny Curry as your third defensive end is going to be just fine, and he looked good today as well. So I would say Mailata, Rasul, Big V, Curry, Dillard. Greg Ward, hey, he answered back. Mark and Michelle, who scored a 75-yard touchdown last week. Greg Ward Jr. catches a big 40-yarder on a fourth down in his own right today. That sixth wide receiver spot is wide open now without Shelton Gibson in the mix. So Greg Ward Jr. very much in this, and he's had a great camp. All right, so that's the winners from today. I would say Miles Sanders, Deshaun Hall, Sharif Miller, Greg Ward Jr., Clayton Thorson, and then, you know, a shout-out to Mailata, Rasul Douglas, Curry, and then the offensive line, really, in general, outside of a couple guys we'll get into with the losers, but the younger guys that they've invested in seemingly for the future, Mailata, Dillard, and then of course Big V's a free agent, but he's been a big part of their depth and he will be once again this year. Those guys showed a lot of positive things against Jacksonville. All right, this is the Locked On Eagles postgame show. We're going to wrap up coming up next with the losers of Eagles Jaguars. Don't go anywhere. Louis DiBiase joining you. All right, wrapping up this Locked On Eagles postgame show. Thank you all for tuning in as we wrap up the week. Eagles take it 24-10. Again, a lot of good things to get into. I'm so excited about Miles Sanders. I think also for you keeper leagues and fantasy football out there, you dynasty leagues, Miles Sanders is going to be a staple of your fantasy football team for a long time, if you ask me. And to see Clayton Thorson do some positive things was a really good sign. I am very much encouraged about the defensive end 4 spot, the defensive end 5 spot, maybe even the defensive end 6 spot. And for the people out there that were really concerned about who's going to be the fourth defensive end, even though I didn't think it was a big deal regardless, I think you guys are probably feeling a lot better too based on the past 2 weeks. All three of the guys, Sweat, Hall, and Miller, have been very productive. And again, it's only 2 weeks of the preseason, but so far so good from the young guys. Guys that weren't really that good tonight. Again, you heard the Jaguar broadcast team try to say Big V's name, and it was totally butchered. That was the theme throughout the entire night. And I saw a lot of fans going after him on Twitter. The Jaguars broadcast team was brutal. Their color commentators, I don't know if they were new or just not watching the game, but their analysis was pretty lousy. They thought Shelton Gibson was Mac Hollins, even though Shelton Gibson was waived this week. They thought Blake Countess was still on the field with the Eagles, even though he was also waived this week. It was pretty brutal. Let me play this back again. I can't get over. This is how they tried to say Halapuli Vati Vaitai.
Yeah, Halapuli Vati Vaitai.
Just terrible. So the Jaguars broadcast team, you get the big L in the losers category on tonight's postgame show. Cody Kessler, I mean, gets injured, opens the door for Clayton Thorson to steal this third quarterback spot if there is one. And it's really self-inflicted too. He is the reason he got hurt. A lot of people were blaming Dillard because the right defensive end came scot-free to Kessler. But there was a cross-dog blitz by the two linebackers up the middle. And for Dillard, your responsibility there is to close down and make sure that they do not disrupt the middle. There was just simply too many guys to block on that play. So Kessler's got to know he's got that guy coming scot-free on his left side, on his blind side. And he's got to get it to Miles Sanders checking down on that side. He's got to get rid of the ball instead. Does not regard the left side at all. And then gets absolutely drilled. He did not return to the game. Here was what Doug Peterson had to say about the play. And I think Doug also agreed that this was more on Kessler than it was the rookie, Andre Dillard.
Yeah, they pressured there. And really, it's unfortunate. Obviously, you'd like the quarterback to kind of see that and get to his quick throw. Just kind of, you know, held the ball a touch. We'll look at the tape. We'll evaluate it further. But, yeah, it's one of those where, you know, we sent the protection one way, they blitzed the other way, and we were needed to get the ball out.
I couldn't agree more, and I think it was good to see a lot of former offensive linemen on Twitter. A lot of media members were saying that was on Cody Kessler. So not looking good for Cody Kessler and his chance of making the team now with that injury that really was self-inflicted. So he's a loser today, the Jaguars broadcast team. Matt Pryor, too, I haven't really checked on the film. I'm not going to rush to conclusions on how he executed during the plays, but he had another penalty today. He now has 4 penalties in 2 weeks, and that's something that you just cannot have as a backup offensive lineman. If you're going to have 4 penalties in 2 weeks, that's going to be really tough. And he did some good things in the field last week against Tennessee. I got to go back to the All-22 and see how he did tonight, but just part of the loser group based on you got to keep the flags in the ref's pockets here. If you got 4 on you in 2 weeks and you haven't even played really 2 full games, that's a problem for sure that Pryor's definitely got to fix. Another loser here, people who want the corners to play closer to the line on third down. And shout out to one of our loyal listeners, Rodney Jackson, who was talking with me about this on Twitter. And the frustration with him is exactly the frustration I've seen with a lot of fans, including myself, where there's certain situations that I get having the corners play off a lot of the time. I understand the benefits it has, especially when you don't have a true number one corner. You don't want Jalen Mills to be pressing and get beat on those double moves. You want him to have as much space as possible on a guy like DeSean Jackson last year against Tampa Bay. But at the same time, when it's a third and short play, third and 3, third and 4, I get not always wanting to give up the big play. But you're just giving them first downs. So many times, if I'm a quarterback, I would just audible it to be like, just run a crosser, run a drag route right here. It's 3rd and 4, and they're giving you 6 yards of cushion because Sidney Jones is lined up 10 yards deep. Even today, it was a 3rd and 12. They were still playing like 15 yards deep, and that allowed the receiver on a skinny post route to get inside Sidney Jones and make the first down play, because not only was he that far back, but he was also backpedaling. So that's the problem I have, and I think a lot of fans have, is I'm okay with using that a lot of the time, that being like the core piece of your scheme, but you got to be situational with things. You it's okay to adjust. And for me, that's a very frustrating part of Jim Schwartz's defense. Again, I think Schwartz is a very good defensive coordinator. There's just a couple things here and there, specifically in the secondary, that bother me. And that's one of the big ones. Of course, the third down picket fence is something that's bothered people a lot. For me, I don't like that they have one corner stay on each side. I think when you have a player like Rasul Douglas that's good against certain receivers and not good against others, you're going to want to rotate your corners around, right? You wouldn't want a team to be like, hey, we can keep our 4-3 speed receiver or our twitchy guy like Amari Cooper, a great route runner, on Rasul Douglas the entire game if that's a part of Douglas's weaknesses. And for me, they do that. They keep corners on one side, and they also do this where they just have them play too deep sometimes. And it's a problem that continues to carry on into this year. It hasn't made them a terrible defense by any stretch. It's just another pet peeve that I have with Jim Schwartz that continued today. So I think a loser today is the people like me who want their corners to play a little bit closer in certain situations. I got three other losers here. One not so serious. It's Brandon Graham. He had a really good first couple drives before they pulled him. Him and Malcolm Jenkins told Doug Peterson they wanted to get some reps in today against the Jaguars before, you know, because again, not sure how much they're going to play next week, and then the starters normally don't ever play in the week 4 finale against the Jets. But another play where Brandon Graham beat the right tackle and had a clear path to the quarterback and had him wrapped up, and the quarterback once again found a way to bounce off him and get away. And that has happened a lot with Brandon Graham. People ask why, because he has an elite amount of quarterback hurries, pressures. The efficiency of him getting to the quarterback, again, is at an elite level in the NFL for a long time now. It's why PFF thinks he's one of the most underrated players in the NFL. But at the same time, you look at the sack numbers and you're like, why does he only have 5.5 sacks here? Why does he have yet to have a season where he gets 10 sacks? And a lot of it just has to do with luck, right? And you should more base productivity off of those other numbers getting to the quarterback. But at the same time, there's a lot of times, and I go back to that fourth down play last year where he had Cam Newton wrapped up against the Panthers and Cam bounced right off his chest and found a way to get away. That does happen a lot with Brandon Graham. He needs to start finishing these sacks. And because then that's really the last part of the reason Brandon Graham is not talked about with the best is because of those sack numbers. And once again, some of it has to do with luck, because he consistently gets to the quarterback. And he did finish the most important play in Eagles history. So let me not sit here and bash one of the greatest Eagles of the franchise's history. But at the same time, he does have a knack here sometimes for not getting the quarterback down to the ground. And that it's a preseason game, but that reminded me of that today when he had the player wrapped up. You just got to get him down. And that has happened quite a bit with Brandon Graham. So that's something hopefully that, you know, he set his goal this year is to get into the double-digit sack numbers. Get the quarterback down. I mean, you're getting there. Now it's time to finish for Brandon Graham. Also, defensive end Eli Harold's a loser today, even though he didn't play. The Eagles traded for him from the Buffalo Bills last week in exchange for Ryan Bates, the interior offensive lineman. But again, look, Harold, 4 sacks last year. He sacked Tom Brady twice, like I said on the show yesterday. But the young trio of Sweat, Miller, and Hall looking good. Again, it's a numbers game here. They're not keeping 7 defensive ends. So if they keep 5, it seems like Harold has no chance, because then you got to make the call, all right, Miller or Hall. Right? I would think that's the, or maybe it's Miller. Maybe Harold's still in that and he punches his ticket against Deshaun Hall. But if they even if they keep 6 here, you can imagine they want to keep all 3 of these young guys the way they're playing right now. So Eli Harold, when he plays next week and the week after, he's got some work to do for sure. Even though he has pass productivity that neither Sharif Miller nor Deshaun Hall have, or Josh Sweat have, he's the one on the outside looking in right now, if you ask me. So today did not help his case just because of how productive I thought the young defensive ends were in Josh Sweat, Deshaun Hall, and Sharif Miller. One more loser here today, player-wise, Stefan Wisniewski cannot snap. That has been a recurring theme of training camp, and now in the preseason today, another low snap to Clayton Thorson, who could not hang on to the ball, eventually did get it, but Wiz has been the backup center, seemingly, throughout the summer. I don't know, because Isaac Seumalo is the starting left guard, but if something ever happened to Jason Kelce, I know Schwartz doesn't like to move multiple positions. Like, that's why they didn't put Rasul Douglas on the field last year, and instead they kept Dexter McDougal out there, is because they didn't want to move Mills to the outside on the inside and then put Douglas on the outside. But if Kelce were to get hurt, my option right now would be to put Isaac Seumalo at center and put Wiz at left guard where he started when the Eagles won the championship. So right now he cannot snap all that well. And then one more loser here is the pass interference challenge. So Doug Peterson won. The Eagles had their first ever pass interference challenge today, and they won it. Carlton Agudozie drew contact in the left corner of the end zone, and it set up a first and goal. For me, with the rule, the way it's placed, the way it's described, is it has to be clear and obvious. To me, that was not clear and obvious. I thought it was nitpicky. Yes, the defender clearly was seen grabbing Agudozie's jersey, but there was a lot of contact on the other side as well from Agudozie. They were kind of grappling in the back of the end zone. That's what happens when you get closer. There's contact back there for sure. For me, I like it. Yes, if there is a play like Nickell Robey-Coleman where he clearly destroys the receiver before the ball even comes close, you should be able to challenge that, or it should be able to be overturned. For me, I don't like that the coaches now have the power, because they're going to challenge things that aren't clear and obvious. One, to see if they can win it, see if they can get lucky. But at the same time, because again, they don't care about the entertainment factor, how long it takes. They just care about, you know, getting it right or getting it towards their advantage. And at the same time, for me, it's going to help them rest their players. Even if they lose the challenge, it's kind of like a timeout where it buys them time. And it's like, hey, look, that was very, very close, not clear and obvious. We might have a chance at winning this thing, depending on how the refs start calling them. And if they're going to allow that to be overturned, then that's setting a precedent that you're not going to be calling just clear and obvious plays. Because for me, that was not clear and obvious enough. It's why I wanted the power to be more of a booth system where there is a replay system, right? Like in hockey, you call up Toronto and they review the play. It's not up to the coaches. That's what I wanted here, where the booth and the NFL, they can review things. Like under 2 minutes, the booth can review. For me, that is what I wanted with pass interference, because the coaches are not going to just challenge things that are clear and obvious. Hopefully the refs can start setting a precedent during the regular season. Of course, with the helmet thing last year too, they changed the way they called that in the regular season. I hope that's the way they start doing it. But for right now in the preseason, that was an example of something that I don't want the rule to be in place if that's going to be called. That's what I'm trying to get at here is I think, yes, you should be able to overturn a pass interference if it is very blatantly obvious that there is a violation made. But that wasn't enough for me, and yet the coaches could still have the ability to challenge it, drain, stretch out the game, and found a way here, seemingly, to overturn it. So I wasn't a fan of how the pass interference challenge was displayed today for the first time with the Eagles. All right, that's going to do it, guys. It's been a fun podcast. I feel like I had more, but I think I got into a lot of good stuff today. I think you should be feeling pretty positive about how the Eagles won this game in Jacksonville. They are 1-1 now in the preseason, and they'll be back next week. We will be back next week as well, as we just have 2 more weeks, ladies and gentlemen. Hopefully you guys got fantasy drafts to have fun and help you get through the preseason. And hey, hopefully we get to see Carson Wentz next week, DeSean Jackson, Alshon Jeffrey, some of the starters, right? It was cool seeing Malcolm Jenkins out there today and Brandon Graham and Malik Jackson. Hopefully we get some more starters out there next week for a little bit, though, because we did see what happened to Cody Kessler today. While Carson Wentz would have picked that up, that's why you got to be hesitant with starting your starters in the preseason. But it'd be cool to see the first team for maybe a drive next week. The Eagles take it 24-10. That's going to do it for this Locked On Eagles post-game edition of the podcast. Please subscribe to the show. We got 4 to 5 shows coming a week into your phone or on LockedOnEagles.com. Follow us on Twitter at LockedOnBirds and at DiBiase, LOE. As always, that's going to do it. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. And let's go, Birds.